Airplane Boys in the Black Woods by E. J. Crane. Chapter 1. A Reception Committee.
Holy Clover! That fellow would make his fortune in a dairy, all right! Exclaimed Bob Caldwell, glancing over the side of the plane the Flying Buddies had borrowed while the Lark, their own splendid machine, was undergoing much-needed repairs at the shop of the British hangar in Belize.
"His fortune? How do you make that out?"
Jim Austin demanded.
"I'll bite. Let's have the answer."
"He'd do the biting. That one tooth ought to be great to make holes in Swiss cheese.
If I didn't need both hands, you would get a wallop that would leave you only one tooth. Then you could start competition," Austin answered.
"Well," he added as the plane came to a stop, "this sure looks as if you will find enough different kinds of vegetation, old horticulturer. May your tribe increase."
"Sure does," replied Bob with an eager light in his eyes as they went from one great tree or vine to another.
"Wonder who dropped that one-toother down in this place?"
The one-toother was a tall, emaciated, dark-skinned individual whose age, judging by the wrinkles on his body and face, was in the neighborhood of 200. His lips were thick, eyes sunken so deep in his head that they looked like burnt holes in a blanket. His huge mouth was wide open, and from the upper jaw was the lone tooth. His only garment was an irregular bit of tiger skin suspended from a narrow woven grass belt, which looked as if it might once have been decorated with a long fringe, but only a few of the strands of its ancient grandeur remained. It was impossible to tell, either by his features or color, if the man was a native Indian or one of white blood who had been tanned and retanned through the long years spent in the tropical climate. He stood perfectly still, facing the plane, but the boys were not sure if he was staring at them or not.
"Suppose he's alive?" Jim whispered.
"He looks as if he's been there as long as the trees," said Bob. Then he raised his voice.
"You're looking hardy," he called.
At that, the queer creature of the forest gave a slight shudder which went from the top of his bald head to the soles of his bare feet. One bony arm was raised a few inches from the side of his body, and almost instantly he disappeared.
"Exit the gentleman from where?"
"Where in the name of Mark Antony did he go?" exclaimed Austin in amazement.
"Reckon we came, he saw, and fled," supplemented Bob.
"Let's have a look about. Perhaps we'll have the pleasure of seeing him again. But we don't want to get too far from the plane, old-timer, and we'd better watch our step. We are two little lads, far, far from the home corrals, and my guess is that lad wasn't impressed with our looks."
"Too bad," lamented Bob.
"Yes, reckon you wanted to study that vegetable," Jim grinned. "He didn't look like any variety of life I've ever run across."
The Sky Buddies climbed out of the cockpit, carefully surveying their surroundings and listening intently for a sound of the vanished ancient. But if he had never been near the spot, it could not have been more quiet. Not even the buzz of an insect disturbed the silence. From the air, the boys had soared above a dense forest, and it was only by chance that Caldwell had noticed the small clear space and suggested that they land and see what it was like. The clearing was less than an acre of hard soil with a ridge of sharp rocks which protruded like saw teeth diagonally across.